Hello, I'm Andrew Middleton from Sheffield Hallam University. I work in academic innovation and essentially I'm an educational developer. And this year I have been promoting educational podcasting, running a pilot with about 30 academics from across the university. And today I'm speaking with Sue Featherston. Sue, would you like to introduce yourself, the module where you've been using educational podcasting and what you are hoping to achieve this year?
I'm course leader for journalism at Sheffield Hallam, and the module that I used it in was called Studying Journalism, which is a level 4 study skills module. I should just explain that journalism at Sheffield Hallam has only been running as a distinct degree programme for, it's only in its second year, and traditionally has been taught as part of the media studies programme. So we launched journalism for the first time last academic year, and one of the things we inherited as part of the new course structure was a module called Studying Journalism, which was developed from a Studying Media module, which is a core skills module, introduces students to some of the core skills that they need to study at university, so things like how to write essays, how to research essays, how to deliver presentations, all things that the students actually think they already know, although from our experience of marking their work, it's very clear that they don't know it as well as they think they do. So it's a module that we feel the students need, but they feel they don't. So that presents all sorts of problems. And the first year of running it, it was an absolute killer. It was horrible to deliver, and I suspect it was equally horrible for the students to attend, well, those who did attend, that is. And the results weren't particularly good, which demonstrates the fact that they do need the things we were trying to teach them, but we weren't teaching them in a way that they wanted to learn them. So over the last summer, we discussed with a colleague about what we could do with it, and essentially we decided that this is a journalism course, and that one of the best ways was to make the assignments more journalism based. So rather than getting students to write a short report on what makes a good student, we decided to get them to do a vox pop on a podcast of what makes a good student. So they had to go out and interview people about the qualities that make a good student, and made it clear to them that we weren't going to be judging them or marking them on the quality of the broadcast in the technical skills, that this was about them getting a variety of voices, getting a variety of responses. So not just having a number of 18, 19-year-old voices saying a good student is somebody who likes to party, but, you know, sort of a lecturer saying, well, a good student is somebody who turns up, who prepares in advance, and then perhaps a parent saying a good student is somebody who... So kind of getting that variety so that they would get a more rounded picture of what makes a good student, and that they would be testing their interviewing skills, as well as in using a podcast and doing something that's for broadcast, they're actually doing something that, from a journalistic point of view, is something that they might do during the course of their working life.
And the cohort, which is quite large, have essentially engaged with this.
Mm. Yeah, we have about 80 students on our first year, and we provided them with a couple of sessions of sort of teaching them how to use Audacity. I showed them how to use recording equipment, gave them briefing notes on how to ask questions, so that they were getting open-ended responses rather than closed responses, and talked to them about what sorts of things they needed to include, and they found it quite a challenging assignment, I think. Some of them found it quite difficult at first to go up and ask people questions. What they tended to do was, even though one of the podcast assignments was an individual assignment, they did work in groups, but they all edited their material differently. And I felt that this was acceptable because it actually reflects journalism practice, you know, that often a bunch of journalists will go and interview the same person, but because you've got different audiences, or you're a different journalist, you edit your material differently. So I felt that that was useful. It also would demonstrate to them that there's no one right or wrong answer in journalism. So that was quite good. And then they did find it stressful, particularly when they had trouble doing the editing, because computers crashed or, you know, other stupid things like that. But by and large, they really enjoyed it. And I was told by one student that she had found it difficult, but that she was really glad we'd included it because it was real life. And the rest of them, sort of, the responses, those who I've discussed it with, came back with fairly similar responses, that they enjoyed doing it. They relished the fact that we trusted them enough to do something like that, and that, you know, we kind of like let them out and do it, and that was good. So,
what have been the main barriers or hurdles for you, and how have you overcome these?
For me, the main barrier or the main difficulty, I think, has been that I don't feel that I'm technically competent, really, or familiar with it. That whenever I've done things related to broadcast in my professional life, it's been an editorial role, so I've been sat next to the editor saying, you know, this is where I think the cut should come, you know, I want this bit in, that bit out. I've not actually physically twiddled the knobs, if you like. So when students were having problems, I felt not as well equipped as I would like to help them. For instance, one student came to me with a piece of equipment that I can't remember what the problem was now, but he couldn't work out something to do with it. And I felt that if I knew more about the equipment, then I would have been able to answer him and help him, instead of which I had to go through the briefing notes that I'd got and try and work through it step by step. And I felt, I suppose, when a student comes to me with a story that they've written and they don't know what's wrong with it, I can immediately pinpoint what's wrong with it. And so I felt kind of a bit vulnerable at times, which wasn't very nice always, but I survived and they survived, so that's all that really matters.
And what have been the main benefits?
I think the main benefits is that the students hopefully have absorbed some information about some of the things that make a good student, and, you know, sort of some other core skills that they've actually learned to overcome the hurdle of actually having to go out and approach people cold and ask them for answers to things. Which is a core journalism skill, and they've had their first taste of using equipment and the first taste of things going wrong and having problems and still having to produce a product at the end of it. So, and I think the fact that they've successfully completed an assignment that they found difficult, I think that's really important for them, because they know they can do it now, you know.
For me, just to finish off, this case has been particularly interesting because it's a large group of students going out and creating podcasts for themselves, and that this group of students aren't necessarily that technically capable.
No. I think that was one of the quite interesting things, that some of the students are more technically capable than others, and in one or two cases, you know, people did say to me, well, I've teamed up with so-and-so because she knows how to do this and I don't, but I know how to do that. And I think that that's really important for them in terms of their learning, but also in terms of a life skill, you know, that it's useful to know or to find people who can assist you in areas where you're not as strong, and vice versa. So I was quite pleased with that. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sue.
You're welcome.
Thank you.